Please turn in your Bibles back to the book of Colossians, chapter 3. Colossians, chapter 3. Throughout this passage of Scripture, Colossians chapter 3, Paul addresses various human relationships. In verses 12 through 16, he speaks concerning the relationships which exist among the members of the new community in the New Testament called the church. That's who the letter is written to the church that was at the city of Colossae. And within the church, there were families. And so then in chapter 3, verse 18 and 19, he brings up the marriage relationship and he speaks of the duties of wives to their husbands and husbands to their wives. And then in verse 20 and 21, he speaks of the relationship with children and parents to one another, the duties of children to their parents and parents to their children. Finally, in verse 22 through the end of the chapter to verse 1 of chapter 4, he addresses slaves and servants and the relationship there, the duties of slaves to their masters, masters to their slaves. And in all that Paul is saying here, we should remember and realize that he is not simply giving external rules of moral conduct. What he is doing is he is telling us what the grace of Jesus Christ does when he comes and saves men and women and transforms their relationships with one another. Christianity is not just an outward set of moral standards. It's not just rules on our external behavior that we should follow. But Christianity is first and foremost an inward transformation of the human soul. It is a renewal of the heart. It is what Jesus calls a new birth from heaven. And when there is the new birth and there is the inward transformation, then that new heart is seen outwardly in the way we behave and conduct ourselves in this passage, especially in our relationships to one another. Sin has entered every human relationship. And sin has entered every human relationship with often tragic, painful, devastating consequences. We see it in the world all around us. We see sin in the family, in the way wives treat their husbands and husbands treat their wives. We see sin in the relationship between parents and their children. We see it in the workplace, employees and employers. Sin has entered every human relationship with its tragic and often devastating consequences. But just as sin has entered into every human relationship, so does the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and His grace comes and transforms human relationships and turns them to benefit and to great good to the human race. We were once, all of us here, even as believers, all of us, we were once the old man, the old woman who lived under the power of sin. But Paul tells us in the earlier verses of this chapter that that old man of sin has been put to death, and we have died, and now we are the new man in Jesus Christ. And we are being renewed into His image. And at the end of verse 11, He tells us that Christ is all, and Christ is in all. And Christ in all, by the Holy Spirit, comes to transform us in every human relationship. We are new creatures in Him. The old things have passed away, and behold, new things have come. Unbelievers, they have their ideas of what a wife is and what a husband is. And unbelievers have their ideas on the relationship that should exist between parents and children. But Christ is changing us into what He wants us to be in all these things. And all of what Paul is saying here in these human relationships, it is part of the Christian's witness in the world. Jesus said, "You are the light of the world and the salt of the earth." And Paul said to the Philippians that in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, you appear as lights in the world. And when the world sees the renewal that Christ takes place, that he produces in every human relationship, when the world sees it in the family, in the church, in the workplace, then we are bright and shining lights in this world and a powerful witness in a world of darkness and sin. We've been working our way through the book of Colossians, and we've come to chapter 3. Recently, we've been on verses 18 and 19 on the duties of the husband and the wife in the marriage relationship. This morning, we continue with the parent-child relationship. Now, we notice in verse 18 that Paul addresses wives, and then in verse 19, he says husbands, and then in verse 20, he says children. Because this is what a family is. This is the structure of the family that God ordained from the very beginning in the Garden of Eden. A husband and a wife. One man, one woman. And the man is called a husband, and the woman is called a wife. They are called husband and wife because they are bound together in the marriage covenant. And out of the marriage covenant, God ordained that children should be brought into this world. That's God's will in every normal circumstance. And God here, he addresses first the husband and the wife in the marriage relationship, because that relationship is the foundation of every family. And if the foundation is not strong, then anything built on it cannot be strong. First comes the marriage relationship, wives and their husbands and their duties to one another. If that relationship is not what it ought to be, then the parent-child relationship cannot be what it ought to be. Husbands and wives he addresses first, then he comes to children. Now, verse 20, Paul says, children, and I'll use the King James Version, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. So notice there, children, that Paul speaks to the children in the church. So I have to speak to the children for just a few moments here this morning. Children, pay attention to the pastor this morning. Look up at the pastor and listen to what the pastor has to say. Because the Bible is telling you as children what you need to do. In this verse, let me explain it as simply as I can to you. God is telling you what he wants you to do. And he is telling you the most important thing in your life right now as young children. It is very simple. God wants you to obey your parents. He wants you to obey both your parents, your mother and your father, both of them the same. He wants you to obey them. When your mom tells you to do something, then God wants you to go and do it right away. When your dad tells you to do something, God wants you to obey him. He wants you to listen to your mother and father. Listen to them. Open your ears to them. Hear what they have to say and obey what they say. Children, obey your parents. And then he says, obey your parents in all things. He means in everything. In everything they tell you to do, obey your parents. Now, sometimes your parents will tell you things that you really want to do. Like you want to go to your friend's house and play with your friend, and your parents will come and tell you, it's time for us to go to our friend's house, please get in the car. And you want to go to your friend's house, so you quickly go and get in the car. No problem there, right? Or maybe you are very hungry in the afternoon, and you've been hungry all afternoon, and Mom hasn't given you anything to eat, and then finally it's dinner time, and Mom says, dinner's ready, please come to the dinner table, and you're so hungry, you just come quickly to the dinner table. There's many times when your parents tell you to do something, and you want to do what they tell you to do. But that's not all that Paul is talking about here. He's talking about when your parents tell you to do something you don't want to do. You come to the dinner table and their mom has made a chicken to eat and you like chicken, so you're ready to eat the chicken. But then right next to the chicken is the peas. And you don't like peas. So dad says to you, son or daughter, I want you to eat those peas now. I'm telling you to eat them. What should you do? You should eat your peas. You should obey your dad when he tells you to do something. Or maybe after dinner, Mom needs a little help with the dishes, or she needs you to pick up some toys, and she tells you to do it. And when she tells you to do it, you should obey your parents. And there's two things that you need to do to obey your parents the way you should. The first thing is you should obey them quickly. Quickly. As soon as they speak. Do what they have to say. No delay. No saying, no, I'll do it some other time. Quickly. And you should also do it with a willing heart. That means you should do it cheerfully. You should be happy about doing it. You should want to obey. Those are the two things that make obedience what it ought to be. Quickly. And with a happy heart. And with a happy face. Right? That's how you obey. Your mom and dad. You don't grumble and complain and be mad and fussy when you obey your parents. And then Paul says one more thing in this verse. He says, children, obey your parents in all things. And then he says one more thing. He says, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. To the Lord Jesus. Paul is telling you that when you obey your parents, Jesus Christ is happy. That's an amazing statement. Because Jesus is in heaven. That's what the Bible tells us. Jesus Christ is in heaven and we can't see Him. We can't see Him, can we? But we know from this that He always sees us. Jesus always sees you. He sees everything that you do, and when you obey your mom and your dad, and you do it quickly and you do it cheerfully, then Jesus Christ in heaven is well pleased, is what the Bible says. He is made happy by that. And so, here's what you should think as a young child. When your mom and dad tell you to do something, you should think to yourself, Jesus Christ is in heaven. Watching me. And He's watching to see what I do. And if I obey, as He says in the Bible, then Jesus Christ is pleased with me. And you should want to please the Lord Jesus in heaven. So, children, this is one thing God has to say to you. God is speaking to you in the Bible. He addresses you. He says, children. And He says one thing, as if this is the one thing most important. He says, children, obey your parents. The most important thing, obey them in all things. For this is well-pleasing to the Lord. But then we come to a second thing that this verse teaches us. And this is important for the children. And it's also important for the parents to understand this as well. And the second thing this verse tells us is that God wants children to be present in the worship of the church. God wants you to be in the church when the church is gathered for worship. That's why He's speaking to you, children. Now, Paul wrote this letter to the church at Colossae, and it was to be read in the Colossian church when they were gathered together for one of their worship services. And so in verse 20 now, Paul comes and he fully expects here in verse 20, he fully expects the children to be present in the church with all the other members of the church. We notice in verse 18, he speaks to the wives. Then in verse 19, he speaks to the husbands. And now in verse 20, he speaks to the children. He expected the children to be there, just like their mothers and fathers were there as well with them. We find the same thing in the letter we read earlier in Ephesians chapter 6. Paul comes to the sixth chapter of Ephesians, and he begins verse 1, and he says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right." And so what we find here is that children are not to be taken away into some other part of the church to have their own service and do their own kind of thing. They are to be present with the whole rest of the church when the church is gathered. We find the same thing throughout the Old Testament scriptures. In the book of Joshua, chapter 8, when the nation of Israel had entered the promised land, Joshua took the book of the law, and we read that there was not a word of all that Moses had commanded which Joshua did not read before all the assembly of Israel with their women and their children. He read the whole book of the law before the whole congregation, women and their children. Then in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, the nation of Judah was being invaded, and King Jehoshaphat called the nation to the temple. And there we read that all Judah was standing before the Lord with their infants, their wives, and their children. And then, once again, in Nehemiah chapter 8, when the people came back from the Babylonian captivity to rebuild the city of Jerusalem, we read this, that Ezra the priest brought the law before the assembly of men, women, and all who could listen with understanding. That refers to the children. All who could listen with understanding were there. And the passage tells us that he read from the law from the early morning until midday. Can you imagine that? From the early morning to the middle of the day, he read, and the children were there. So what we find here in Colossians chapter 3 is that Paul is continuing what was the practice of the Old Testament people, that he expected children to be present. And not only did he expect children to be present, listen children, not only did he expect them to be present with the adults in the church, but he expected them to be paying attention, to be awake and paying attention when the Word of God was being preached. Because here we are in Colossians chapter 3. We're getting near the end of the book of Colossians, and everything else in chapters 1 and 2 and 3 have already been read. And in those chapters, Paul has stated some of the most amazing, glorious things about the gospel and the Lord Jesus Christ. Back in chapter 1, he said that Jesus is the image of the invisible God. And then he said that he is before all things, and he is the creator of all things. In him, all things hold together. And he said he is the head of the body. He is the head of the body. The body is the church, and Christ is the head. And God has reconciled all things through him, through the blood of his cross. You see, what Paul's been saying is some of the most amazing, wonderful things about the Lord Jesus Christ and salvation. Things that even parents find hard to understand. Things that theologians spend their whole life trying to study, and they still can't get to the end of it. Then in chapter 2, he goes on and he talks about various errors that were threatening the Colossian church. He speaks of the man-made philosophies and the Jewish ceremonialism and the hyper-spirituality and the worship of angels and asceticism. He deals with all those things in chapter 2. Then he comes to chapter 3. And he says, you have died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. You have been raised up with Christ. The old man is dead and laid aside. You are new men and women in Christ, and Christ is in all. Some of the most astonishing statements in all the Bible. Things that parents find hard to understand themselves. And then he comes to chapter 3 and verse 20. And he still expects children to be present and paying attention best they can to the Word of God that is being preached. Even after all these things that Paul's been writing, he still believes that when he says in verse 20, children, those children are going to be awake and they're still going to be paying attention and trying to learn the most they can. Now, we all know that it's a very difficult thing, especially for younger children, to try and understand. And they do not understand all that parents understand from the sermons. And they need encouragement from their parents to do the best they can at the particular ages that they are at. And they need, children need, to develop discipline. A strange word maybe in our day, discipline. The discipline of sitting in church and trying to listen to the Word of God. And parents can help them, and parents can enable their children to learn more from the sermons when they speak to them about them and explain them at their level around the dinner table as they eat on the Lord's Day. What is clear in verse 20 is that God expects children to be present in the worship of the church. And when these things are done, listen to me, children, listen to me again. God wants you to be present in the worship of the church. And when you do, and you pay attention, you learn a little bit each time from the Word of God. Bit by bit, little bit by little bit, each Sunday. And children who grow up in churches where they hear the Word of God each Lord's Day, they can grow up and they can be strong Christians. And they can be good theologians, just like their mom and dad. God is not neglecting anything here when He expects children to be present in the worship of the church. So, children, God wants you to be here. And He wants you to hear the message of the Bible. Now, we can ask the question, well, why does God want children present in the worship of the church? Why? Why does He want that? The answer is because the gospel of Jesus Christ is the only means of salvation. The answer is this, that the gospel that saved their parents is the same gospel, the only gospel that can save children. The same gospel that saves and sanctifies parents is the gospel that can save and sanctify children as well. There is no other gospel than the one that is preached in the church. We can turn to a passage to help us in this regard in the book of 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. And we'll begin reading, we'll read at verse 14 and 15. Paul says, you, however, he's speaking to Timothy, who was a young pastor in the city of Ephesus. Paul says, you, however, continue in the things you have learned and become convinced of knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the sacred writings which are able to give you the wisdom that leads to salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. What Paul is doing here is he's reminding Timothy of how he came to salvation. In verse 15 he says, from childhood. The word actually means from infancy, from the earliest days of your understanding. Timothy, from childhood, from infancy, you have known the sacred writings, referring to the Old Testament scriptures. Timothy had a mother who was a Christian, but Timothy's father was not a believer. And yet, what Paul is reminding Timothy is that his mother, from the earliest days of his life, had taught him the Old Testament scriptures. And like any good Jewish mother of those days, she would have made Timothy memorize many passages of Scripture, and she would have brought Timothy to the local synagogue where the Scriptures were read and taught on each Sabbath day. From infancy, from his earliest days, Timothy had been taught the Old Testament Scriptures. And then Paul says, those Scriptures, those Old Testament Scriptures, are able to give you the wisdom that leads to salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. The Old Testament Scriptures, they don't have the light and the full revelation as the New Testament Scriptures do. But even those Old Testament Scriptures are able to give children the wisdom that leads them to salvation, which is in Jesus Christ. And so, the reason why God wants children to be present in the worship of the church and to hear the preaching of God's word is because the gospel is the only means of their salvation. The gospel is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, adults and children alike. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. Children, God wants you to be present in the church, because the same gospel that saved your mother and father will save you as well. Is it hot in here? Or is it just me? It's hot. Could somebody please go back and put on the air conditioner for us in the back there? Just turn it on to cool and knock the temperature down. It'll come on. I'm always hot up here. And you people are looking hot. But you're all awake. That's good. Children, obey your parents in all things. And this passage teaches us also that this is what parents should expect from their children. Parents should expect obedience from their children. It might sound like a strange thing in our generation, and some people think it's an impossible thing for children to obey their parents, because we live in a time when most parents don't know who they are in relation to their children. They don't know their roles, and they don't know the relationship they should have with their children. Some parents, many parents, think all they do is they give food and clothing to their children, and then they let their children do whatever they want to do and think whatever they want to think and let them just go their own way. You would never interfere with the will of a child. You would never impose your will upon the child. And the last thing in all the world you would ever want to do is to discipline the child and make them do anything that they don't want to do. That's the way many parents think. But the role of parents that God has established is that parents are the authority over the children, and children are to obey their parents. The relationship that God wants between parents and children is one of authority, His authority in the parents over the children, and the children obey and submit to their parents. That's God's way. And this relationship is based in the fifth commandment, where God said, honor your father and your mother, that it may go well with you. It's an amazing thing that happened on Mount Sinai. God came down on Mount Sinai, and He came to Mount Sinai with glory and majesty, with power, in a way that He has never did before in this world and never since. And when God came to Mount Sinai, the whole mountain was shaking, and there were thunder, lightning, and fire. And the mountain was burning, and there was smoke ascending like in a furnace. And God had 10 laws that He was to give. 10 laws that were to cover all righteousness for all time. 10 laws that God had to give, and one of them concerned children in their relationship to their parents. Children were to honor their father and their mother, and the first way in which they honor them is by obeying them. Imagine that. God speaking from Mount Sinai in an audible voice, and He speaks to children. Honor your father and your mother. And Paul repeats that commandment in Ephesians chapter 6 to show us that the commandment continues in the New Testament. And when children are disobedient to their parents, children, listen, when children are disobedient to their parents, God takes it as a very serious matter. In the Old Testament, when children disobeyed their parents and they continued in their disobedience, those children were put to death in the nation of Israel. We read in Deuteronomy chapter 18 that if any man has a stubborn and rebellious son who will not obey his father or his mother, when they chastise him, he will not listen to them, they were to take that young man outside the city, and the elders of the city were to stone him to death and purge the nation of Israel of that sin. And the reason why God commanded such a severe penalty was He saw that disobedience to parents was the root sin from which so many other sins would grow in the coming years. If that sin was not plucked up by the root, it would eventually destroy the purity and the stability of the nation of Israel. If a child cannot learn to obey his mother and his father, the first and the most natural and the most loving authority that God has placed over him, if a child cannot learn to obey that authority, then what will the sin grow into in later years? We could look here in the passage we're on in 2 Timothy chapter 3. Let's look at this. 2 Timothy chapter 3. And we'll read the first 5 verses. Paul says, "But realize this, that in the last days, difficult times will come. For men will be lovers of self, lovers of money, boastful, arrogant, revilers, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, unloving, irreconcilable, malicious gossips without self-control, brutal, haters of good, treacherous, reckless, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, holding to a form of godliness, although they have denied its power, and avoid such men as these." Here we have a list of some of the most heinous, grievous sins that Paul says will arise in the last days. And sitting right in the middle of them, connected with all the others, perhaps the root of them all is this sin of disobedience to parents. He does the same thing in Romans chapter 1. He speaks of how God gives men over to a depraved mind and all the wicked sins that they commit, and then in the middle of it is disobedience to parents. Disobedience to parents, children, is a serious sin in God's eyes. And if we could trace so many of the crimes, the ills, the sins of our society back to the very beginning, back to the root, this is where we would find perhaps the vast majority of them began, with children who were disobedient to their parents. The root sin of so many others. God's law is always good and holy and just. And God says in the fifth commandment, honor your father and your mother and obey your parents here. And if parents would enforce obedience of their children, and if children would obey their parents, we could say that the whole world would be literally transformed, and so many of the sins of our world would disappear by just following this one commandment of God. God regards disobedience a very serious sin. We turn back to our passage in Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. And with the seriousness of disobedience that God has placed upon this matter, the seriousness of the disobedience of children, we should not be surprised that Paul brings it up here in verse 20. And he exhorts children to be obedient to their parents in all things. And parents are required to enforce and to secure this obedience. And God has given to parents the means to secure this obedience in the Word of God. He has given them reproof, correction, teaching, and the loving and firm use of the rod of discipline. Book of Proverbs, chapter 22 and verse 15. Foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child, but the rod of discipline will remove it far from him. Chapter 29 and verse 15. The rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child who gets his own way brings shame to his mother. And we could go on and quote other verses in the book of Proverbs that say the same thing. You don't need to teach your children disobedience, do you? They know how to disobey you. They come from the womb that way. It's part of their sinful nature. You need to labor with them. You need to teach them and instruct them and love them and discipline them in order to secure their obedience. It does not come naturally. And parents should require obedience. Paul says, in all things, in everything. Now, Paul's assuming that he's speaking to Christian parents who are not going to give a command that's contrary to the scriptures. They're going to give legitimate commands and demands upon their children. But in all those things, children should obey their parents. And so, parents, what this means is this, that when you speak to your son or daughter and you tell them to do something, then they should quickly and willingly obey you. Period. Without delay, without fussiness, you speak and they should quickly obey. Your voice is all that it should take for your child to obey. And if they don't, then you are responsible before God to secure that obedience by the means He's given to you in the Scriptures. And if reproof won't work, the rod will. Your child learns when you speak a command and they don't obey you, and they just kind of blow you off, they know whether you're going to give the rod or not. Because you've taught them how many times before. And the more you just neglect God's means, they're just going to go on like that. I mean, they know. And so you have to raise your voice and raise it and raise it and then yell and scream and so on, when just using God's ways will secure it in a much easier way. Once they know you're consistent, they're going to start obeying your voice when you speak to them. Little children, they are the most lovable, adorable, cutest little packages of human depravity and sinfulness and wickedness that there could ever be. That's what they are. Lovable, adorable. But that depravity is deep in their hearts. And you speak sometimes to your children, and they turn the other way and they blow you off and they pretend they don't hear what you have to say and they don't want to do. Or sometimes little children are bold enough to look up at their parents eye to eye and boldly tell them, "No, I'm not doing that." When that happens, you're responsible to deal with that sin. And that is disobedience. That is the disobedience in seed form that we are talking about here. The disobedience that leads to all the other sins we saw in the passages. You take the disobedience of a 2- and a 3-year-old. And sometimes you can deceive yourself and think, "Well, he's so cute. He's so cute. She's so cute. It's just the way they are. They're going through a stage. It's a personality problem. It's something else. You just neglect dealing with it." Then, my dear brother or sister, take that disobedience of a 2- and a 3-year-old and now project it onto a 17- and an 18-year-old. Expand it enlarge it, multiply it, project it onto a 17 and 18 year old, it's not so cute anymore. It's not so lovable anymore. And now's the time to deal with it, when it's in bud form in the little children, and they need it. And they don't grow up resenting their parents when they love them along with reproof and the rod. They love their parents when they grow up because their parents have faithfully dealt with the greatest enemy they have to their eternal souls, which is their sins. Faithful parents are loved by their children most often. And even when not, at least children, at least parents have a good conscience that they did all they could for the souls of their children. So we're going to close this morning. And I want to speak one more time to the children among us. Children, we're at the end of the sermon. We're at the end of the sermon. And I want you to pay attention one more time. Children, you know how many times you've disobeyed your parents. Some of you know how many times you have disobeyed your parents over the years. Your sins are great. Even as a young child, disobedience to parents is not something that God simply winks at and ignores. Disobedience is serious in God's sight, and little children have great sins of disobedience. Children, you have sins, many sins. And you need to be forgiven of all your sins. And you've got a big problem, and your problem is you've got a bad heart inside of you. You've got a dirty, filthy heart that doesn't love God and doesn't want to do what God has to say. That's your problem. You need a new heart. That's what you need. The only one who can forgive you of all your sins, the only one who can give you a new heart, is the Lord Jesus. And Jesus can forgive you, children. He can forgive you of all your sins, and He can give you a new heart. He can change you so that you want to do what He says. There's a story in the Bible when little children were brought to Jesus, and Jesus said, "Let the little children come to me, and do not forbid them, for to such belongs the kingdom of God." And Jesus welcomed little children. Little children can come to Jesus. You don't need to wait until you're older to become a Christian. You can become a Christian right now. If you're old enough to sin, you're old enough to believe in the Lord Jesus and be saved. And the Bible says today is the day of salvation. Today is the day of salvation. Children, what you should do this afternoon is go home and get on your knees and pray and say, "Lord Jesus, I have disobeyed my mother and my father many times. I have many sins. Lord Jesus, forgive me. Forgive me. Take away my sins and give me a new heart and make me want to do your will." That's what you need to pray. Children, I'm speaking to you. Don't wait. Don't wait for sin to grow stronger and stronger and more powerful in your life until it gets a grip on you that you can never get yourself out of. Sin is a terrible thing. And sin doesn't just sit idly. It grows in its power and it wants to destroy you. And the only one who can save you is the Lord Jesus Christ. "Let the little children come," He says. Come to Jesus and be saved. And when He gives you a new heart, then you can start right here in this verse. And you know what His will is. You know what He wants you to do. Children, obey your parents in all things. For this is well-pleasing to the Lord. Let's pray together. Our Father and God in heaven, we do cry and pray for help and for mercy and grace today. Bless the word of God to us. Give each of us grace to do your will. Be with the parents in their rearing of their children. Help them to follow Scripture. And Lord, be with the young children as well. And may the gospel come to them and save them. And may they look to Jesus as the only hope, even of little children. Lord, hear us and bless your word now. In Jesus' name, amen.